Beyond Athletic, episode 47.
Working with returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan was, I think you feel a sense of, or a loss of the team or the unit, this kind of unit cohesion that we talked about. And I think athletes kind of face a similar problem.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey, what is up, everyone? Thanks for listening once again. This is a hybrid on a solo session. So I was thinking, how can I bring in some more people who are just in line with what I'm trying to accomplish in life and with sport and everything that I'm doing, and totally dedicated to becoming more than just, you know, the basic definition of whatever it is they do or they believe in, like really just evolving. And Marcos and I met in the CrossFit gym that I'm working out at here, Privi Team, in Belgrade, Serbia. He's waiting on his visa to Sweden to get back there and do his personal training and nutrition coaching at their own CrossFit box that they're going to start up. And in the process, he came out with me and my brother Chris for my birthday. And since, we've had some pretty good conversations where I've just been like, wow, I love where he's at in terms of what he's talking about, how he gets his information, how he trains. He's extremely focused when he's in the gym. So I thought, let's bring some more value to this. And today we're just going to talk about a few different things. I really just want to have over the next few weeks a conversation that I share with you guys about, you know, what's going on day to day in our minds and our actions, and how can we just be better, right? And a little bit more insight than we're normally getting from our coaches, from the staff on our teams, from, you know, multiple different places. I think that it's really important that we create these personal circles that expand to beyond the just physical location where we are, that we amplify whatever we're doing by either listening, watching, reading up on people, situations that we find will help us become better and more than just athletes, right? So I hope you enjoy this episode. Marcos Otero served in the Marines from 2002 to 2006. After his military service, he was an outreach coordinator for the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs for a Vet Center program in Los Angeles. And basically what he was doing was he was assisting returning combat veterans that were just trying to transition. He did that for about 4 years, and then he started CrossFit. And like us, whatever sport you're in, I mean, he really just saw a lot of value in it. He loved it. He started getting passionate about it, and he thought like, wow, I can help other people with this. So he started coaching. And since he's been coaching, he's become a CrossFit level one trainer and a precision nutrition level one certified coach. So definitely look him up. I will always give in the show notes and everything that I can ways for you to connect with him. If you want to follow him on Instagram, it is Hit Your Numbers. So HitYourNumbers. Hit Your Numbers. And that's on Instagram. Go check him out. It's him and his girlfriend putting up some cool stuff. They just started. So follow him. Let them know if you like these episodes and enjoy. Here's a little bit more about Marcos and what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so first off, my name is Marcos Soltero, born and raised in Los Angeles. grew up kind of playing a mix of sports, tennis, basketball, soccer, football. But whether that was in high school or club teams, I'm just kind of like dabbling in different things. But once I graduated high school, went straight into the Marine Corps and was there from 2002 to 2006. I served in Iraq for about 2 years, between 2003 and 2006, and then got out, was kind of wondering what to do, and still wanted to stay active. So went to school, kept working out, that whole thing, and then I found CrossFit in 2011. Shortly after that, I knew I wanted to stay involved in CrossFit and coach people, and really had saw a lot of amazing transformations, whether through myself or others, and decided to take the level one trainer cert in 2012, and then I was coaching shortly after that, so all the way up until the present time. So,
so from 2012 until now, you've been coaching.
Yeah.
So you jump right into it. So you you basically were like, all right, here's this thing, CrossFit, that I really enjoy. What were like the key factors that you would say made you really appreciate CrossFit?
I think it was just the fact that it was a small group class that you could really highlight and focus on an individual's, whether that was a weakness or concern or question of a person's. And everybody supported everybody. It was very intimate, a very cozy atmosphere. And I think what the biggest thing was is that people felt that they could be vulnerable. And I felt that I could be vulnerable. And that there wasn't any judgment. It was okay to fail at something because you knew that was going to lead to you know, mastering whatever that technique was or movement or a mental or emotional hurdle later down the line. So. And I didn't really get that in some of the bigger gyms. It's kind of just everyone for themselves. You go in there, you either know what you're doing or you don't. And, you know, if you don't, you're not really going to be doing anything except wasting your time. Or if you do, you know, you're kind of just in there to get your workout on and get out of there. So this was I think it was for me a different alternative and something that I really enjoyed. So,
yeah. So, I mean, what I heard in there, like out of everything you said, was one of the things is that it seems like, and from just knowing you for a few weeks now, you're kind of like an analytical person. So you like to look at details. You like, you see maybe details, not just you like to look at them. You see more than just a simple action or, thought, whatever. So when I see that you were helping Marines after you came back, right? So, I mean, I just want, because I want people to hear, because right now, I know we've talked already, and I mean, obviously, I've given a little more intro on you before we started this by the time the podcast is up, but we started talking a lot about, you know, psychology and philosophy, and I started to find out that we had some things in common in terms of like people that we had been reading up on or researching or, you know, just paying attention to in the weightlifting or other worlds. And I see that this is very uncommon, actually, for athletes to be very just like in tune with what's going on and what they're passionate about. So it's not that they're like following it. It's not like you're watching CrossFit competitions all the time. You're more getting into the science of it. You're getting into the really just the basics, the foundations. And I know that we've been talking about foundational stuff, but when I look at like how you're looking at things, and that's why I wanted to talk about what you were doing with the Marines and why you chose to do that and what was maybe some of the common things that you saw when they're coming back from these tours abroad, which I look at as if you want to make a parallel. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like if you go over there, you're going into literally action. And if you're an athlete and you're going into your competitive sport, you're going into action. And after that, depending on the outcome and what happens during that event, you're going to have different, you know, you stresses and normal stresses, whatever from that. And you're going to have a different mental state, emotional state, everything after these events. And so if we talk about the people that you were working with, what were you seeing most commonly in terms of general things that you had to work on, and how were you helping them work on those? And if you were to make a parallel with being an athlete.
Working with returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan was, I think you feel a sense of, or a loss of the team or the unit, this kind of unit cohesion that we talked about. And I think athletes kind of face a similar problem in that when they may have been an athlete for their entire lives and up until, you know, 18, 24, 25, whatever. And then all of a sudden it just stops if they're on a team, in a team sport or something of that nature. And there's a sense of kind of a loss. You know, you feel this, you know, where does my routine go? Because for the last, 4 years, 5 years plus, I've been used to a certain routine and things were being done for me, or, you know, I've had people to rely on. Everyone had a certain job. And I think that kind of change in routine, change in environment, change in family, if you will, many people would use that word. And, you know, I think it alters in somebody's motivation, you know, a person's motivation when they're coming back to tackle anything, you know. So you feel invincible, and then overnight, almost, it feels like that now you have this loss of structure. So I think that was the biggest thing. And I think crossing over into a trainer role, I think a lot of people still face similarities. Maybe they didn't play team sports or anything like that, but I think that everyone's searching for some kind of support, some kind of routine, whether that's through themselves or through a collection of people. But so that I think that would be the main transfer or carryover. Similarity, if you will, that I see between combat veterans and coming back, and that loss of routine, and then, you know, athletes, whether they're on a team and they're looking for some kind of, you know, mental game plan or something of that nature to help them kind of through either transitioning out or where they're at that time. So,
and I mean, that kind of brings us to what I wanted to talk about, because I am thinking about what I could do to give athletes a little more than they're used to having, and especially from just mix it up from just hearing me. I want to talk about the top five this or that that I've learned. I think that our conversations are so good if people hear them, and I know that we have written down some things we want to talk about, scripting, ownership, fixed mindset versus a fluid mindset, and some other things. What ideas, and what, if we're going to just define, what is scripting? And we'll take it from there. We'll just jump into it.
Right. The way, when we're talking about scripting, I think it's that we're all scripted in one way or another. We're all being scripted by our environment, whether that's family, friends, media, whatever it is. You know, somebody else's reality, somebody else who was scripted from somebody
else.
Hey
there, so I hope you enjoyed it. Listen, so next week what we're going to do is we're going to give you the rest of the conversation, at least another part of it, where we start to talk about scripting and how much of a role the people, not only that you surround yourself with, but that you are surrounded with, whether that's online or offline, you know, and how that's going to play into what you're trying to accomplish. So listen up for that next week, and make sure you let us know what you thought about this episode. Share it with friends. Ciao. And don't forget, mention me on Twitter at Ryan J. Owens. That's J-A-Y Owens, or at Beyond Athletic. And you can find Marcos and his girlfriend running an Instagram at Hit Your Numbers. So see you next week.
This concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.